Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello, and welcome to another broadcast of The Zone. I'm your host, Minister Tom Miracle, and thank you all for tuning in. And this is going to be a broadcast that is very controversial. This is going to be the book in the New Testament that's called Romans. And part of the book that we'll be studying will be the first chapter in the book of Romans. This is the tipping point for our time. This is the most controversial issue that many people are talking about in America. I mean, we're having it now about same-sex marriage. Will it be legal or not? The Supreme Court, I think it's so hilarious. The Supreme Court's going to decide these men and women who are people. They're just humans, and they're imperfect. And they have their own ideals. They have their own thoughts. They're going to judge something that they have no right to judge. And that's what I think is so interesting. We've got people that have been elected by other people to be in this position of power to legislate the laws of the land. And if these people already believe a certain way, then that's the way they're going to follow through. I don't believe that, we're gonna be just according to what we hear, you know, based on the facts. Fact is, the Word of God says, marriage is between a man and a woman. And that's it. But America will decide. The Supreme Court will decide. And the leaders who put these people in these places to decide for the American people whether it's right or wrong will make a decision. I think that's pretty sad that the government is supposed to be the people, and these people are supposed to follow what the people want. And it's turned where it's become the minority. And I'm talking about the minority. I'm talking about the ones in power control what goes on, and not the people. But that's another story in itself. Let's get back to what this was all about. And this is Romans chapter 1. And this is controversial, major league controversial. There's even Bibles now, man-made Bibles, that are trying to pervert, trying to take away what's in here. And you can't. The Bible says, anyone adds to this book, I will add the plagues of this book on them. Anyone takes away from this book, I'll take away their opportunity for the book of life. Or I'll take away their name out of the book of life. Take their name out of the book of life. So you know what? You can't beat God. I don't care who it is. You can't outthink him. You can't outsmart him. You can't outwit him. You can't. Because he knows all things. He knows all hearts. He sees all things. Nothing is hid before him. Darkness to him is light. What we do in secret, he sees wide open. Nothing. And when people try to take the name of God and use it to their advantage, he's watching. They're not. They're the only one that's fooling is themselves. That's why he said, I will reward you according to your works. So the best thing to do is get right with Christ, ask for forgiveness of sins, and receive Jesus Christ, saving Lord, and have your sins blotted out. And have your name in the Lamb's Book of Life and be a part of the family of God forever. But this book is interesting. And this chapter really, really is a stamp of what is right and what is wrong. And I think what's interesting is that the Bible is written by holy men inspired by the Holy Spirit. And in the Old Testament, it's Jewish men, Jewish people. And in the New Testament, it's Jews who are now following the Messiah, Christ. Even Jesus Christ was a Jew. John, James, Mark, Jews. It's so amazing that Paul, who was taught under Gamaliel, and before he was Paul, he was Saul of Tarsus, and he was persecuting, and he was of the elite when it came to what he knew of the Old Testament. I mean, Paul was what we would consider today like one of the mainstream ministers out there, you know, who everybody talks about and knows about. That would be Paul. He is the one that, out of all of the apostles, had the most education. They had the most connections when it came to the elite in the Pharisee realm. But what I want to get at is this Romans chapter 1. I'm going to start with verse 16. And I'm going to read it, and we're going to go into a few more areas because this is very interesting. It's not only just about how we look at marriage, but why things are happening the way they are with man-made religions and religious extremists doing what they're doing to people, and that's bothering them, killing them. So let's go. We'll pray first, and then we're going to go into Romans 1. We're going to begin with verse 16. So let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Lord, for this time that we can grow and learn and know more of your word. I pray, Lord God, you open spiritual eyes and spiritual ears that people who's listening can hear the word and understand what the word is saying and realize that your word is truth and your word will not return void, and that what you say, that's the way it is. And man may change it, but you have the final say in all things. Bless the reading of your word. Let the anointing go forth. Minister to hearts and lives, that is so seeds in people's hearts and lives, the faith can come alive, and the truth can be revealed, and they'll know that this is the word of God. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen. Okay. In Romans chapter 1, verse 16, it begins like this. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. It's the King James Version. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness who hold it. Right, ungodliness and unrighteous men who hold the truth in a unrighteousness. Because that they which be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. So there's no excuse. There's no excuse for not accepting Jesus Christ to save us. There's no excuse for receiving the gift that God has given to us, and that is Jesus Christ. Because that they, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were they thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and the four-footed beasts, and creeping things. In other words, they were worshiping. You know, they were worshiping cows and making golden calves, like in the time of Moses, or, you know, all in the Philistines, with their Dagon, some fish god they had, and other, the Babylonians, all these idols that they all worshiped. And wherefore, in verse 24 says, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness, to the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. So here we see in 24, it says, 24th verse, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, the desire of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves.
Wow.
Who changed the truth of God into a lie. So instead of accepting God's word for what God's word says, they perverted it. They turned it around. And they accepted the lie that they were saying to be the truth. But they would not accept what it was true, which was the word of God. And worship and serve the creature more than the creator who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, this is verse 26, for this cause God gave them up unto vile affection, for even the women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust, their desire, one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. So the question now becomes, what is a reprobate mind? Well, here's one statement that really gives a better understanding. And the answer is, the phrase reprobate mind is found in Romans verse chapter 1, verse 28, which I just shared, in reference to those whom God has rejected as godless and wicked. They suppress the truth by their wickedness. It is upon these people that the wrath of God rests, Romans 1:18. The Greek word translated reprobate in the New Testament is adokimos, which means literally unapproved. That is rejected by implication, worthless, literally or morally. So the question now becomes, as America, as a nation, don't want God? Is this the direction that we're going? Are we going to allow the immorality and the murdering of the innocent babies to continue? And then God forbid, if same-sex marriage becomes legal, the Supreme Court says we feel it's the right thing, and therefore, as men and women who are imperfect, we're going to make decisions for all the people in America? That's the question that really needs to be answered. And I know there are Christians, that I know I'm one, you know? And I truly believe that if there were no Christians in America, I think America would be already gone. But because God's grace and because of the prayers of the saints, God's mercy is upon America. But there's coming a time when America's going to reap what has sown. So we see here that it's called in the Greek, adokimos, which means literally unapproved, that is rejected by implication, worthless, literally or morally. Now, Paul describes two men named Jannes and Jambres as those who resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. That's in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 8. Here the reprobation is regarding the resistance to the truth because of corrupt minds. In Titus, Paul also refers to those whose works are reprobate. They profess that they know God, but in work they deny Him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. Titus 1:16. Therefore, the reprobate mind is one that is corrupt and worthless. That's a pretty heavy statement. Corrupt and worthless. So the question you have to ask yourself, are the people who are in leadership, in the executive, in the judicial, and legislative branch have this reprobate mind? And if they do, then they're going to do what they believe is right, even though it's wrong. They're going to follow their own way and not follow the word of God and do whatever pleases them. That's very, very, very concerning if you ask me. But this is where we're at. This is where we've come to. We've come to that place. You know, that there's people don't want the truth. They don't want God's word. They want to do it their way. And that's why America's in the mess it's in right now. Because we've gotten away from the word of God. We've gotten away from where our forefathers wanted us to go. And America, morally, is a mess. And spiritually. So, as us, we can see in the verses above, people who are classified as having a reprobate mind, have some knowledge of God and perhaps know of his commandments. So, they know about God. They know his commandments, you know, but they refuse to obey because they live impure lives and have very little desire to please God. They want to have it their way. They want to have their, they say, cake and eat it too. They want to go to a church and play church and just like a lot of politicians, they show up and just to say, look, I'm at church, but their heart's far from the Lord. And don't get me wrong, it's not just politicians, it's a lot of people who are playing church. And they live impure lives and have very little desire to please God. Those who have reprobate minds live corrupt and selfish lives. Sin is justified and acceptable to them. Wow. Sin is justified and acceptable to them. My. Is that where we're going as a nation? Where sin is justified and acceptable and everything goes back just in the last 30, 40 years? You know, movies that were, you know, mature, as they call them, or X-rated or triple X-rated, you know, back in the 60s and 70s. Are now PG, or not, I shouldn't say PG, but R-rated. You know, we've gotten closer and closer to that. More and more immorality is okay. Even things that are normal now on TV would not be accepted 20, 30 years ago. And it blows my mind. I mean, it's amazing. Even the commercials that are being brought on TV. And it's just keep here. Have, you know, you see a basketball program, and every commercial is about drinking beer and getting drunk and drinking beer and have a good time and wash all your phones away and just enjoy, you know, and not facing reality. And not only that, but there's other areas as well. So we're a nation that's sinking deeper and deeper and deeper into sin. And we need a great awakening. We need a great revival. We need a great move of God upon this land. Okay, sin is justified and acceptable to them. Reprobates are those whom God has rejected and has left to their own devices. Can a Christian have a reprobate mind? Someone who has sincerely accepted Jesus Christ by faith will not have this mindset because old person from the reprobate mind has been recreated into a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, all the new has become. And I agree totally with that. But if we are truly in the faith, we will have the Holy Spirit to help us live a God-honoring life. John 14:20. Those with reprobate minds do not have the Spirit and live only for themselves. Wow. I mean, that's pretty descriptive of what a reprobate mind is. And in the New Testament, you'll find either reprobate or reprobates, just like we shared, it's in Romans 1:28, which we're in now, 2 Corinthians 13:5, 2 Corinthians 13:6, 2 Corinthians 13:7. Then it's also in 2 Timothy 3:8, which we just talked about and read, and Titus 1:16. So this was Paul wasn't just talking to one group of people; he was talking to other groups of people as well. Let them know, you know, these are people who live for themselves. These are people who live immoral lives, you know, and sinful lives, and they know about God, they know about his word, but they refuse to follow it and refuse to obey it. So let's go to verse 29 in Romans chapter 1. It says, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters of inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful. Verse 32, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. So they enjoy the sin they're in. To them, it's a normal way of life. Whether it be a man-to-man or a woman-to-woman lifestyle, whether it be living in unrighteousness and sexual sin, living in wickedness, murder, like all these religious extremists are doing. Hello, ISIS, Boko Haram, Al-Qaeda, and all the other groups. It's right here in the Bible, in Romans chapter 1, verse 29. It says murder. And guess what? The babies that are being killed in the name of pro-choice, murder. Think about that. It says here, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death. Not only do the same, but they have pleasure in them that do them. I saw some things I was totally shocked about. Some woman, I forget who it was, but she was like, you know, she's in blood and she's like, she wants the head of some person. I can't remember who it is. And now ISIS is with this Pamela Jelar, that, you know, and this guy named Choudhury, you know, she should be slaughtered. Like, what? And what do you're saying that put a hit on her, like kill her? So why aren't these people in jail if they're already saying this stuff? I don't understand that. But see, that's the thing. And it, you know, I don't totally agree with what she did. I mean, I couldn't do it because I just don't look at it provoking things. But in a way, what she did, I can respect it because she opened up something that people didn't want to see. People didn't want to know this. ISIS was already here. And according to what was said on Greta Van Susteren, I can't remember the woman's name that does the Washington Journaling thing. She said that they're in Washington, I believe it was, Virginia, Michigan, California, and Illinois. Wow. And these are people who have one agenda and one agenda only, and that's the caliph. You know, if you don't submit and become Islam, or you don't pay this tax, we kill you. And they're here in America. And it says here in this part of the chapter, verse 29, murder. And guess what? That means they have a reprobate mind. And in other words, believe a lie and be damned. They're believing the lie that they've been told through man-made religion that they've been following. And guess what? It's going to send them not only to hell, but into the lake of fire. And all these people who are killing themselves to take out other people in the name of a man-made religion, they're going to die in their sin, and they're going to be, in the end, put in the lake of fire. There ain't going to be no virgin. There ain't going to be no place, because you know what? That's nothing but a lie. And the scripture here says it. They believe a lie to be true. And the scriptures say everyone that does these things, they know the judgment of God, and they are worthy of death. Not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Look at the people that they parade with, the heads of decapitated, or they rejoice because somebody is executed because they won't accept the man-made religion. That's what I call it, man-made religion. Anything out there that is not Christ-centered is man-made. Simple as that. But let's take this a little further. Let's go to Galatians chapter 5. And let's read what Paul says to the people in Galatia. In chapter 5, beginning, I believe, we'll go to verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, worshiping of idols again, man-made religion, witchcraft, all this new age garbage, hatred. There we are, hatred. Hello. Let's kill all the infidels. You know, let's take them out. Let's murder them. Let's kill them. Hatred. Hatred is a sad thing, because once you become angry and it goes into hatred, it becomes bitterness and it becomes a poison that just destroys your soul. Variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings. Here it is again, verse 21. Murders. Drunkenness. Oh, what do you know? Drunkenness now. Reveling and such like, of which I tell you before, as I told you in time past. This is the Apostle Paul speaking, you think. Minister Miracle speaking. This is the word of God. That they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. That's as simple as they can get, isn't it? They won't inherit the kingdom of God. Everything they're doing, all this in the name of man-made religion and caliphate, what they call it. Guess what? The end is destruction and eternal damnation. Lost forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. They may have their moment in sin and revel in it, but there's going to be a price to pay, and it's going to be their soul. And for these people also, who this men with men and women with women thing, if they don't repent and get right with Jesus Christ, according to what this word says, it says straight up, they're not entering in the kingdom of God. And you say, okay, well then, who gets to? Well, let's go to Revelation chapter 22. And I think this is one of the most major, for me as a minister. I tell people, I can't change nobody. I can only share the gospel and give people the opportunity to receive Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. And what they do, they do. And people live the lifestyle they live, that's the lifestyle they live. But in Revelation, it says here in chapter 22, verse 11, it says, he that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He that is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. So what that's telling me is people have a choice. Everyone has a choice to receive Jesus Christ or not. Everyone has a choice to turn from their sin and their wicked ways and not live a reprobate life and come to the righteousness of Christ by receiving him as Savior and Lord. And if people want to continue living the lifestyle they live, God forbid, I pray, people will realize, killing people is wrong, but these people are going to keep on doing what they're doing until they die, because they're so poisoned with hate and what they've been taught that's all they know. And it's sad, but they still can be reached if they will repent and turn to Jesus Christ before it's too late, because they're living a lie. And that lie is going to send them to the lake of fire. or it'd be eternally lost. However you want to put it, it's going to be eternally lost. There ain't no 72 versions. It's not going to happen. There's nothing like that taking place. The Bible doesn't say none of that's going to happen. And it isn't going to happen. And I want to share, before I get into Revelation, I want to share something that's found in John. I think this is a mind-boggling because, you know, I look at this scripture. I'll go back to Revelation in a minute, but this is something that just really works on me because, you know, you hear all these people that say they're doing this in the name of their God, you know? And according to what I read in history, that this Muhammad, he didn't come on the scene to like something like 600 AD or something like that. I'm not sure the year. I don't have that on me right now, but I know it was after Christ. So anything that happens after Christ for me, I have to look what Christ said that was going to happen while he was here, that these people would do this after he was gone. So in the book of John, chapter 16, which is the fourth book in the Bible, it says this in chapter 16, verses 1 through 3. Are you there? Chapter 16, verses 1 through 3 in the book of John, it says, "These things have I spoken unto you, that you should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogue. Yea, the time cometh." The time comes, which means it's coming. I'm here now, but the time's coming that whosoever killeth you will think that he is doing God's service. Immediately, my mind goes right to that time when man-made religion came into play with this guy named Muhammad. And the stuff in the Quran, I've read a little bit about it, talking about you have to do it a lie to get ahead or to fool the infidel, the unbeliever. You know, if they won't convert, then kill them. Or if you give your life up, you know, as a martyr or a suicide bomber, you know, you get all these rewards, and that's not going to happen. But in this chapter, this verse right here, in this chapter, this tells me that Jesus was saying there's going to be people that are going to come, and they're going to think when they kill you that they're doing God's service. Why? Because they have a reprobate mind. Hello? They have a reprobate mind, which means they believe a lie and not the truth. And because of the lie they believe and the sin that can continue on, if they don't repent, they're going to be lost forever. And here's one of the most important part for me of these three verses is the third verse, which says, "And these things will they do unto you," this is Christ talking, "because they have not known the Father, nor me." So they don't know God. They think they know him, but they don't know him. Reprobate. They live a life of sin. They live a life of ungodliness. They make up this man-made religion to fool all these people to follow. And even in the man-made religion, it shows that you may not even get in. But the Word of God, before that man-made religion came into its existence, as they would say, Jesus Christ said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." If you look in John chapter 14, I believe it says that, let me see if I can get it real quick for y'all. Jesus said, chapter 14, verse 6, "Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." So all these man-made religions are going nowhere. They're all lies. The only way to eternal life is through Jesus Christ. The only way to have your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life is through Jesus Christ. The only way to be saved from the wrath to come is through Jesus Christ. There it is, John 14, 6. The Bible, this part, Christ was here before man-made religion was here, when it came to this Muhammad thing, Muslim. Well, as simple as that. It's all man-made religion. Before it was man-made religion, was Egypt and their garbage and stuff, and the Philistines and their religion, and all the other Babylonians, all man-made religions, and all failed. The word of the Lord says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will stand forever. And I truly believe that. It doesn't matter what I think. It doesn't matter what I say. It matters what the word of God is. This book has been around a long time. It's been here a very, very long time. And it is the most fascinating book I've ever read. Because I see the stories in my life in here. And I see where I was brought from the sin and living a lifestyle of ungodliness to the grace of God that's been applied to my life. And I see in here how I have to grow in Christ and become more mature in the faith. So let's, as we've gone into that, let's go back to Revelation where we were a little bit earlier. And I'll read it again. So starting in, this is Revelation chapter 22. This is verse 11. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He that is, which is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. In other words, you want to continue living the lifestyle you're living? It's your choice. But you got to realize the consequences if you're in sin is death. In verse 12 it says, behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according to his work. Shall be. Not could be. Might be. It shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they might have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without, here it is, these are not getting in. For without are dogs, sorcerers, whoremongers, murderers. You hear me? Everyone who's killing in the name of a man-made religion are, in the eyes of God, murderers. Anyone who's killing innocent babies in the womb, in the name of pro-choice, murderers and idolaters. An idolater is anyone that, anything that you put before God, anything that you put before, whether it be money, whether it be fame, whether it be power, whatever it is, it's idolatry. And it says, idolaters, you don't get in. And whosoever loveth, and here it is. This, to me, is really something to really look at. And you need to really look at this verse. And whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. So all these man-made religions, all these authors who got these books out, and, well, I shouldn't say got these books out, but wrote these things, and then they became books, and then people followed them and followed these man-made religions. Guess what? They're all lies. And the Bible says, whosoever loveth and maketh a lie doesn't get into heaven. Doesn't have eternal life. That's a powerful statement. That's a powerful statement. So people can say anything they want to say about, oh, no, God didn't mean that way about men with men and women with women. Well, you know what? You don't even have to even go that route. All you got to do is look at the 15th verse in Revelation 22, and it comes out and says plainly, whosoever loveth and makes a lie. So you know what? No one's gonna fool God. God said, you know, I know exactly what's going on. You're not gonna fool me. You're not gonna trick me. You're not gonna play games with me. I know what you're all about, and I know what you're doing. So you know what? If you have been brought to a holy conviction, and you now realize that, oh my, I need a Savior, and I need a Savior now. I need Jesus Christ to become my Lord and Savior. I don't want to die in my sin. I don't want a reprobate mind. I don't want to live a lie and continue living a lie and be led by sin and be a slave to sin. And then the wages of sin is death and destruction and eternally lost forever. If the Holy Spirit is convicting you now of those sins and you realize you need a Savior, then I invite you to pray with me a prayer that will change your life and your destiny forever. And the reason I can say that is because the Bible says, behold, all things be passed away, behold, all things become new. If you want to come to know Jesus Christ, your Savior and Lord, then let's pray this prayer and know that God will make all things new for you. Shall we pray? Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray, Lord, for these people that are listening to this broadcast. I pray, Lord God, that you're just moved with holy conviction upon their life. I pray, Lord God, that they feel your anointing, they feel your love, that they feel your touch. And they realize that in their spirit that they need a Savior, and that Savior is you. I pray, Lord God, as I pray this prayer, let it be anointed. Let it speak to hearts and minds. Let lives be changed. And let names be brought into the family of God. And also their name written in the Lamb's Book of Life, in Jesus Christ's name. Let us pray. O Lord God, I realize I need a Savior. I realize I'm in sin. I realize I'm not connected with you, and I want to be connected with you. I everything I've tried, it's got me nowhere. I'm empty and I'm broken. And everything I've tried has failed. But I believe this is the reason why I'm listening to this broadcast, because I now know, I know with all my heart, I want you as my Savior and Lord. So I ask you to come in my life. I ask you to forgive me of all my sins, all my wickedness, all my shortcomings, all my rebellion. Cover it by the blood of Jesus Christ. I surrender my life to you now. I receive you as my Savior and Lord. I ask you to come in my life. Change me from the inside out. Help me become all you want me to become. Hold on to me no matter what comes my way. Give me hunger and thirst for your word and baptize me with the Holy Ghost and fire. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy and your grace. Thank you for hearing my prayer. And thank you for taking this heart of stone and turning it to heart of flesh. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. You prayed that prayer, God bless you. I want to be the first one to say, welcome into the family of God. Your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You're saved. You're saved. You're saved. You're saved. Amen. And I encourage you to get in the Word of God and read. Ask God to give you understanding. And He will. Anyway, ask the Bible says, anyone asks God for wisdom, He'll give it to them. And that's what we need, wisdom from God to understand a spiritual book, have spiritual eyes to see and spiritual ears to hear what the Spirit is saying. This is a message that is very controversial, but the Word of God tells you exactly what it is, and that's it. I mean, people can shake it, they can turn it around, they make it any way they want to, but God's Word does not return void, and it doesn't change for nobody. And these people who are playing this game, trying to compromise, they're going to fail. They're going to fall. So most importantly, you believe God's Word, you study God's Word, you find a local church so that you can find a pastor that preaches the full Word of God. And one more thing I want to say to you before we go off the air is that don't how I put it to you. Listen to what the pastor or the minister is saying. But find out for yourself if what he or she is saying is the truth. Look, have a Bible with you and follow through. Don't. The problem with too many people is they listen to what the minister is saying, and the minister may be in error, or she may be in error, and ain't saying exactly right. The way you find out, I remember when I gave my life to Christ, one thing I asked him, I said, I want truth. I don't want it from a minister. I don't want it from a pastor. I don't want it from some well-known evangelist. I want truth. He said, my word is truth. And you know what? For almost 40 years now, since I rededicated my life, this word has been true. So that's why the Bible says, study, show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. The Bible is the roadmap to eternal life, my friend. Follow it. It will not. The Bible will never lead you wrong. It will always lead you to truth, and it will lead you into eternal life. Amen. Okay. So, once again, if you want to leave a testimony and you want to mail one to me, or you just want a prayer request, or just want to say hi and enjoy the broadcast and God bless you for it, well, our P.O. Box number is 6261, Goodyear, Arizona, 85338. That's P.O. Box 6261, Goodyear, Arizona, 85338. And our Facebook groups, like I said, I'm on Facebook, and I go by Thomas Miracle. And the picture you'll see is, I stand with Israel, and I do. I believe Israel is really the center of everything that goes on around and on the earth. Because even in the end, this is where it's all gonna be at. The establishment of the kingdom, Israel. Anyhow, and then you also see a picture that's gonna say I belong to the Nazarene, and this picture, of course, is from when the people ISIS would go into the Christian homes over in Iraq, I believe it was, and other places, and they would signify or symbolize throughout this mark that these people follow the Nazarene. And I stand behind those brothers and sisters in Christ who are being persecuted. I pray for them daily. And I have that shirt, I wear it, and I also have it on my Facebook. So I stand with them, as we should. Our brothers and sisters in Christ, the Bible says, I believe it's in 1 Peter, 1st or 2nd Peter, First or Second Peter, excuse me. It says that we are to pray for those who are in prison, our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, just as like we were there with them. And I truly believe in that verse. So the Facebook groups, if you would like to join, are Strong Morning, Native Americans for Christ, and our Continued Prayer for Persecuted Church, America, the Nations, and we're praying for the awakening. As you know, today is May 7th, and it is National Day of Prayer. So I encourage you to just spend some time with the Lord in prayer. If you can't get out to any of the events in America, across America, or at your church, or you may not have one, whatever. The point is, spend time with the Lord, and let's pray for this nation. I'm still believing, you know, we may have to go through some things, and we know we will be going through some things, but God is bigger than any problem out there. But we need to stay faithful and true, and we need to be prepared as trained soldiers for the Lord. So before we go up the air, I just want to take a few minutes to pray for those people who may need healing in their body, and asking God to bring healing in their bodies with the miracles. The doctors may have come report that it doesn't look good, and things aren't going well for them. Let's pray together, and let's believe God for healings and miracles to manifest in people's lives, not only at hospitals and sick and shut in, but all over the world where people need a touch of God. Amen.
That's right.
Father, in the name of Jesus, I come to you right now. I ask that you send your word, that your anointed power would go forth in the hospitals and into the nursing homes and into the sick and shut in, and to all people who need a touch of you, whether it be healing or to feel your love and your presence, to have your Shekinah glory manifest and minister to them, that who need joy, who need peace, who need salvation. I pray, Lord God, that you just manifest and minister to them, that healing come forth, that the peace of God come forth, that deliverance come forth, that salvation come forth. God, just move mightily upon the land. Move mightily. Bring a great awakening. Bring a great revival, not only on America, but upon this nations of the world. And I break all the works of darkness. I break the spirit of murder. I break the work of the flesh. The chains of darkness be broken. Confusion to be broken. Suicide spirits to go. Depression, fear, doubt, unbelief, confusion, mass envy, strife to go now in the name of Jesus. The power of darkness to be broken, souls to come into the kingdom of God, people to be healed, saved, set free, and delivered. In Jesus' mighty name, in Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen. Well, thank you once again for this opportunity to share with you on the Zone. And like I said on the last broadcast, and I'll say it every time before we go off the air, it is truly, I'm honored for the opportunity that God has opened the door through Blog Talk Radio to share the gospel and to speak truth. And like I said, the Bible says, let God be true and every man a liar. Don't believe what I say. Hear me? Don't believe what I say. Believe the word. Trust the word. Live the word. Be the word. Amen? Remember, people build empires. God builds people, you and me, through his word, by his Holy Spirit, and by praying and seeking his face. Amen. God bless you all, and thank you.